Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series entitled The Intent of Lent. We're in a period of time now that's commonly known in the religious world as Lent, and we're going to talk about what Lent is, what it represents, and whether or not it's a proper practice for believers in the dispensation of grace. We'll use Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 as our starting point for this series of studies. So you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians and verse number 1. As you do that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. We have a web address, toll-free phone number, and also, of course, a mail address. And if you contact us in any one of those ways, first, we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have or hear any comments that you have about our program. And number two, if you'd like to receive audio or video cassette tapes, CDs, or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, you can write and request them. The series entitled, as I said, The Intent of Lent, but if you just mentioned the series on Lent, we'll know what you mean. We'll be glad to get that out to you without any cost or obligation. So as I said, at the end of the program, we'll be giving you that information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. Right now, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5. And verse number 1, as I said, we're using this as our starting point for this series of studies. It will actually be several weeks into the series before we get to this section and talking about Galatians chapter 5 in detail. But verse 1 is one of the key verses in this series of studies. And Paul says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul is encouraging the churches of Galatia there not to go back and be entangled again in the bondage of the law, but to stand fast in the liberty of grace, to stand fast in the liberty that they have in Christ Jesus. And that really is going to become one of the key issues as we discuss this whole topic of Lent, what Lent is, should we be observing Lent, what's the meaning of Lent. This verse in Galatians is going to play heavily into our understanding of whether or not believers in the dispensation of grace should be practicing Lent. Now, before we get too far into this series of studies, we want to define Lent. And we're just going to read basically a dictionary definition of what Lent is. Lent is defined as an annual season of fasting and penitence beginning on Ash Wednesday and lasting 40 weekdays to Easter. So it's that period of time that we're in now as you're watching this broadcast. It's the period of time from Ash Wednesday to Easter, counting only the weekdays, and it's a 40-day period of time. It's given as a time of fasting and penitence. That is, it's a time to make atonement for, to be sorry for your sins. Oftentimes you'll hear of someone giving up something for Lent, of someone giving up some food or something they enjoy doing. They'll give that up for Lent as a way of showing their sadness and their sorrow for their sins of the past year. In fact, it's oftentimes that Ash Wednesday, the day before that, is oftentimes called Fat Tuesday because traditionally people have indulged themselves on that day before Ash Wednesday so that on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, they can give up something for that 40 days. So there's a great indulgence and then there's a giving up of something, a time of fasting and a time of penitence, a time when you are expressing sorrow for your sins and trying to do something to help show penitence for your sin, to help make up, if you will, for that sin. So that's what the definition of Lent is. And as we talk about Lent, we're going to consider if there is that kind of a practice, that 40-day period of fasting and penitence and giving up of something and sorrow for sin and all of that, is there that kind of a practice demonstrated in Scripture? Is that a scriptural practice? And then if it is, how exactly should it be practiced? If not, why not, and what should take the place of Lent? How do you deal with sin in your life? The whole idea of Lent is to examine yourself, to look at your life, to find that sin in your life, to give up something, to show the sorrow for the sin, and to continue on without that sin in your life. Well, to start with, there is no place in Scripture that there is a time period of 40 days given for Lent. There's no place in Scripture, in fact, that Ash Wednesday or Easter are defined as, quote, holidays or holy days. Those are things that are man's invention, and certainly the timing of all that and when it occurs and the 40 days and weekdays beginning on Ash Wednesday and ending on Easter and all of that is man's invention. There is, however, in Scripture, some talk of that principle. In the Old Testament, we see the principle of Lent, which is a period of time, of fasting, of penitence, of sacrifice, of giving up of things, of sorrow for your sin. There is that principle presented in Scripture in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus and learn a little bit about how the nation Israel practiced a time of penitence for sin, a time when they expressed their sorrow for sin, a time when they afflicted their souls, is actually the terminology that's used in the Old Testament. And afflicting your soul means to feel sorry, to afflict your soul, to beat up on yourself, as it were, because of your sin, to feel bad about your sin. That day described in the Old Testament is the Day of Atonement. It's part of the national calendar of the nation Israel. It's part of the law that God gave to Israel. It's part of their ceremonial sacrificial system under the law. Leviticus 16 talks about the responsibilities of the high priest on that Day of Atonement. Beginning in verse 11 of Leviticus chapter 16, we'll read there. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring his blood within the veil and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now, that description that you read there in Leviticus chapter 16 is a description, as I said, of what the high priest is doing on the Day of Atonement. There is this day in the ceremonial calendar of the nation Israel, a day when the high priest is going to make atonement for the sins of the nation. Now, all through the year, there are sacrifices offered for the sins of the people. That is, the people bring their own sacrifices for their own sins and offer them up to God. In fact, let's take a look at that. If you turn back to the first chapter of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, of the herd, and of the flock. If the offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood, sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. That's a description of what's going on all the time in the nation Israel. That is, that as individual Jews commit acts of sin, acts of transgression against the law, they were free to bring offerings. You bring that offering of your own voluntary will. You put your hand upon that offering, and I will accept that offering, that sacrifice, as an atonement for your sin. that the blood of that bull, of that goat, or whatever it may be, that blood will serve as an atonement for your sin. You put your hands on the head of that burnt offering. Putting your hands on the head of that burnt offering symbolizes that your sin is being transferred in a figure and a type to that offering. That offering then dies. The wages of sin is death. And I receive that offering for your sin. That's the whole sacrificial system of the law. Those offerings being offered in sacrifice for sin. The sins of the people being put upon those animals. The animals giving their lives so that the sin might be atoned for. He says in verse 4 there, it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. The sins will be covered. He will be at one with God because of that sacrifice. So as I said, that's happening all the time throughout the year. Every day people are bringing these sacrifices to the temple, to the tabernacle, and offering them to the Lord. But on this one day, on the Day of Atonement, it's different. On the Day of Atonement, it's not just a sacrifice of all the individual Jews, but there is going to be one sacrifice offered for the sins of all the people. One sacrifice offered by the high priest on behalf of all the nation. One sacrifice offered, a bullock given, that will atone for the sins of the whole nation for an entire year. And that's what we read about in Leviticus chapter 16. It's not one of those daily sacrifices where individual Jews are coming and bringing a sacrifice for some sin they've committed. But this is for the sins of the whole nation. This is the high priest representing all the people of Israel offering that sacrifice for sin on the Day of Atonement. And in verse 14, he shall take the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. Before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood of his finger seven times. He shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people. That blood of the bullock, by the way, is for his sin, for the sin of himself and his family. Before he can go in and offer sacrifice for the sins of the people, he needs to offer sacrifice for his own sin. And once his own sin is atoned for, then he kills the goat of the sin offering that's for the people. And he brings the blood within the veil to do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And before the mercy seat, he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions in all their sins. Now, another difference between this and the daily sacrifices that are made. Number one, this is one sacrifice by the priest for the sins of all the people. Number two, this sacrifice is being offered not at the door of the temple or the door of the tabernacle, as we read in Leviticus 1. This is in the Holy of Holies. This is where the high priest only went once a year. It's that place where the Ark of the Covenant resided. Over the Ark of the Covenant, there's that mercy seat of solid gold. Over that mercy seat, the cherubims made of olive wood, covered with gold, that stretch their wings out over the mercy seat. And it's between those cherubim, over that mercy seat, that Jehovah God came to commune with man. And this one day a year, Jehovah God would come down in His glory, and He would see that blood sprinkled on the mercy seat. And as he saw that blood sprinkled on the mercy seat that day when he came down to commune with man, that blood on the mercy seat is a covering, an atonement for the sins of the nation. God dwells between the cherubim, and on this one day, he sees that blood sprinkled on the mercy seat between the cherubim. And that offers a sacrifice for the sins of the people. If you look down into verse 21, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. So there's two goats. One goat is going to be offered in sacrifice. The other, verse 21, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. That's where we get our term scapegoat. The scapegoat is going to bear the sins of the nation. When you say you're making somebody a scapegoat, it means you're putting the blame on them. The blame for Israel's sin is put on that scapegoat, carried out into the wilderness, taken away, while the one goat is offered in sacrifice. The blood of that goat sprinkled on the mercy seat, sacrifice for the sins of the nation. So that's a yearly occurrence, and it's clearly a part of the sacrificial system of the law. It's what God gave Israel to do under the law. In addition to their own sacrifices that they brought for their own sins, there is this sacrifice that is offered on behalf of the people on the Day of Atonement. And that's an important day because it is a day when the nation is represented before God and their sins are covered for another year. Now, if you want to bring of your own voluntary will, you remember Leviticus 1 said, for your own individual sins, that's fine also. But this Day of Atonement is the priest offering sacrifice for the sins of the nation. Now, on that Day of Atonement, what are the people doing? And this is where we really want to get into this idea of penitence and fasting and afflicting your soul. We know what the high priest does on the Day of Atonement. The high priest is there at the tabernacle or the temple, and he's offering up that sacrifice. He's sprinkling that blood. He's sending that scapegoat out by the hand of a fit man. He's doing all those things to make atonement for the sins of the people for another year. But in Leviticus 23, we read about what the people of Israel are doing. Leviticus chapter 23, and let's begin at verse number... Let's begin at verse 26. I'm sorry. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. That's this day we're talking about, a Day of Atonement. So there's the Day of Atonement. What happens? Ye shall, and it shall be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So in addition to that, what the high priest is doing, the people are offering a sacrifice also. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month at even, from even unto even, ye shall celebrate your Sabbath. So ye do no manner of work on that Day of Atonement, when the priest is in offering the sacrifices. There are three things Israel's to do. Number one, in verse 27, they offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So as the priest is offering an offering for the sins of the nation, Israel, the individuals, are offering sacrifices for their own sin. Number two, in verse 30, whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day. You do no work. So the Day of Atonement is a day, number one, when you do sacrifice, you bring a sacrifice, offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Number two, it is a Sabbath. Verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of rest. So secondly, it's a Sabbath day. It's a day when no servile work can be done. And finally, and here's the part that fits in the most to the idea of Lent today as it's practiced, verse 29, whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 27, he says, ye shall afflict your souls. You offer an offering made by fire, and you afflict your souls. Now that's a term that we don't hear much today, afflict your soul. But it's a term that really has that idea of being penitent, of being repentant, of feeling sorry. You afflict your souls. It means you're feeling bad about your sin. You're feeling bad about yourself. You're feeling bad about all the things you've done. You're feeling bad about the fact that there's a little lamb down there that's going to have to be killed because of your sin. And you have to take a sacrifice down and all of that. You do no servile work. It's a sacrifice that's offered. And there's an afflicting of your soul. And those three things are somewhat present in the modern day practice of Lent. Now, as I said, in the scripture, there's no reference to 40 days, to this lasting for 40 days. In fact, it's specific. It's from even to even on the 10th day of the 7th month. There's no reference to Ash Wednesday, Easter, all of that. But there is this principle that on a yearly basis, you sacrifice. Now, in Lent today, the sacrifice of an animal has pretty much been replaced by, I'm going to give up something for Lent. But the idea is the same. There's a sacrifice there. There's something that's being offered as sacrifice for my sin. I'm going to give up something to show my sorrow for sin. I'm going to give up something to help atone for my sin, to help make up for my sin. It's a Sabbath. Of course, in modern day Lent, there are Sabbaths that pass in that time when people do no servile work. Oftentimes, that time around Lent is viewed as a time of Sabbath and less activity. Number three, afflict your soul. That's one that certainly is practiced during Lent, a time of self-reflection, a time of introspection, a time when you look at yourself and the evil that you've done, and feel sorry about it and afflict your soul. So if we were to look in Scripture for something that matches the practice of Lent, now it doesn't, as I said, the 40 days, the timing, all of that is not there. But the basic premise, the basic principle behind Lent as a time of sacrifice, a time of penitence, a time to afflict your soul, a time to give up something to make atonement for your sin, that's all present in this day, the Day of Atonement. It's all present in what Israel is doing there in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. It's all present in the offering of up of that sacrifice by the priest, and then the offering of the sacrifice by the people, and the afflicting of the souls of the people. As we continue on in this study, the question we need to ask is, and answer in this study, we see this practice in the law that God gave to Israel. We see that practice that approximates what Lent is, and that certainly has as its underlying principles the same thing as Lent, the sacrifice, the penitence, and all of that. Is that something that we should bring into the dispensation of grace? Is that a practice that's appropriate for believers in the dispensation of grace? We see here that it clearly is commanded of the nation Israel. Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23 are clear. There's this commandment of what Israel is to do on an annual basis as a way of dealing with their sins. Yet, today in the dispensation of grace, does that practice carry over? In fact, let's turn to the book of Hebrews for a moment. And we want to look at a verse that talks about that problem. We'll sort of end with this and leave you with this idea and with this thought, and then next week we'll pick up here in the book of Hebrews and hopefully give you an answer to the question that we're going to ask today. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Now, here's the question. This sacrifice and this affliction is commanded by God on the Day of Atonement. But when we get to the book of Hebrews, we learn some things about it. Number one, we learn that these sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually, That's why he says year by year. That's how often this sacrifice was offered. The Day of Atonement came once a year, seventh month, tenth day, every year. Those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually could never make the comers thereunto perfect. We know that this system could not make anybody perfect. Why is that? Because we know in verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. We know that all the sacrifices offered on all the days of atonement for all the years of Israel's history never took away one sin. So we have to consider then, God commanded this for the nation Israel. But we learn in Hebrews, it never made anybody perfect and it never took away one sin. Not only did it not make you perfect, it didn't even take away one of your sins. So then why did God command it? And is it something that we should be continuing today? Next week we'll consider those two questions. Why did God command sacrifices that could never take away sin? Why did He command a day of atonement that could never make the comers thereunto perfect? And should we continue that practice now that we understand that that's the case? Next week here on Grace Alive we'll answer those questions, and we trust that you'll be tuned in then. And until then, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have about the program. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week in any one of those ways. If you have questions or comments about the program, as I said, we'd love to hear those. And if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs, please just specify what format you prefer and just mention the series on Lent. And we'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. We just want to help you to better understand God's Word, understand what God's Word has to say about the intent of Lent. We trust that you'll be tuned in next week, same time, same station. And until then, we trust that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.